Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of a Christmas and Epiphany sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll thank you with a CD of one of Todd's Christmas and Epiphany sermons.
Having gays in the military does not hurt the military. It improves the military. It adds to recruitment possibilities.
There are definitely some pretty strong views within the chaplain community. I would not for a minute assume that if the law were repealed, every single chaplain would stay in the military. We should assume that we may lose some of our chaplains.
That's why families everywhere are taught to place the menorah in public view so the entire world can see its light. As the Talmud teaches us, so long as a person still has life, they should never abandon faith.
If that's what you're looking for, is a church in which I am going to have nothing but happy thoughts and be given a positive image of myself, and that's all I want to hear, then repentance is a buzzkill.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
Well, there's no doubt about it. Human reproduction is big business, and it's apparently good business. In this country, we have IVF. It's a very expensive procedure, but it's also a very lucrative procedure. But in this country, there are laws. Laws about IVF, laws about surrogacy. There are laws, not in every country. And nowadays, if you want to take business outside those laws, outside the boundaries of this country, guess what? You can. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking here in the first few minutes of this hour of Issues Etc. about the global commercialization of human reproduction. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse will be our guest a little bit later in this hour. Dr. Alvin Schmidt will join us to talk about two issues in the news. One, the death verdict given to a Christian woman in Pakistan for blaspheming the prophet Muhammad. That's what she's accused of. She's been found guilty. She's been given the death penalty. Not yet executed. And we'll also talk about the persecution of Christians in Iraq. Now, you can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founder and president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hey, Todd, great to be with you.
What have we read recently in the Wall Street Journal about the, I can only call it the global commercialization of human reproduction, and how has the left been reacting to this new industry?
Well, there was an article over the weekend in the Weekend Journal called, I'm not making this up, it's called Assembling the Global Baby. And it's about a woman who is a surrogate mother, the gestational mother is from Bulgaria, and she's using a European Union somewhere unidentified egg donor, and the sperm of the Italian member of a couple where the wife is infertile. And this man and his wife will take possession of the baby when the baby is born. So, you know, it's a global business there. And the Bulgarian gestational mom, that's great, but really the best place to go is India because they're cheaper and you can get two for one. And the full commercialization of human production, and it's become a global business. And the really surprising thing about it is that the people who are in favor of this are the what I would call the libertarian economists, you know, sort of the lazy libertarians who think that if you let adults do what they want, it'll all be good. That's one group of people in favor of it. And the other group of people in favor of it is the whole group of the lifestyle left. who are ironically pressing on for the full use of capitalism in the most personal area of human life, which usually they don't like capitalism. Usually they don't like alienation. Usually they don't like commercialization and oppression and all that stuff. And yet, here in this case, they're supporting the most radical form of radical individualism, of atomistic individualism. So it's quite ironic in a way, but really quite awful when you stop to think about what's really going on.
Tell us about Planet Hospital.
Well, Planet Hospital is the name of a business run by a guy. It sounds like Southern California, L.A., something like that. This guy's a real impresario, okay, Todd? He puts together people who want children with the global assets that can make that happen. So if you've got an egg donor from University of California, Berkeley, who meets all of your criteria, you got your egg there, and you got your sperm from your member of your couple or whatever, and then you need a surrogate as cheap as possible. He'll help you find the surrogate mother. He'll help you work out all the legal details so that you can take possession of the baby, so you can get your visa, all of that kind of stuff. He'll just handle all of that business for you. He calls himself a concierge service. And actually, he's so enterprising that he'll actually sometimes throw in additional services on the side if you're interested. In one case, he offered somebody the opportunity to get their teeth cleaned, which they declined for some strange reason. So anyway, he's a real operator, this guy.
He offers what is called, he actually calls it, the India Bundle.
Yep.
And this kind of exposes several very unseemly things, if this weren't unseemly enough, about this burgeoning industry.
It's like Tom, we're going from bad to worse here, so I hope your truck drivers and whatnot don't drive off the road while you're talking. But anyway, go ahead, because this is, I know where you're going with this. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, first of all, it's cheap. It's the cheapest thing they offer there, but it includes all sorts of the transportation, and for apparently, according to the Wall Street Journal, for a couple 10 grand plus or something in that neighborhood, you can do the cheapest package he offers, which is a surrogacy in India, because after all, everybody works cheap in India. And if, AT&T outsources their tech department to India, why don't we outsource our surrogacy, our wombs, to India too?
Yeah, well, that's what they're doing. And I think doesn't he have a 2-for-1 deal there?
Yeah, apparently.
Where you can use two different gestational mothers and have, two eggs implanted in each one or something, take the ones that you like or the ones that make it. It increases your chances of it's spreading the risk. It increases your chances of getting a baby. And he says if somebody decides that they have that more of these eggs take than they really would like, then they might do a reduction in the pregnancies. That's means abortion, that they might abort some of the babies that they paid so much for. But that he doesn't judge. He doesn't judge those people if they decide to do that. As we already know from IVF, that the selective reduction is a pretty common part of the IVF procedure. So it goes on in this global business as well.
Isn't it also about either avoiding or skirting the laws against or laws regarding surrogacy, in vitro fertilization, and all of those things that exist here in the United States?
Well, look, first of all, Todd, there isn't much in the way of real law against surrogacy and in vitro fertilization. I mean, in California, pretty much the rule in most of the United States is that anybody who can pay can do anything they want. And some states are better than others in that regard. So what's happening is that it's combining the sort of Wild West aspect of it, the unregulated aspect of it, with the low cost of it. That's part of what he's seeking, that combination, expansive legal opportunities combined with low probability of being sued by the surrogate who might decide that she actually feels something for the baby that she's carried in her womb for 9 months, combined with low cost. So that's what he's putting together for people, is finding the least cost, most desirable option for somebody who wants to reproduce with some part of their own genetic material, but not with a personal relationship with another human being that they care about.
With about 30 seconds before we take a break, it seems to me, looking back, this is inevitable. If we are going to make human reproduction in this sense an industry, a money-making industry, where for the sake of convenience to the clinics, convenience to the parents, we're willing to produce so-called extra embryos. We're willing to do these reductions that are, in effect, abortions. And it's all to kind of satisfy our apparent now, what shall we say, right to have a child. It seems to me, if we're doing this here in the United States, it's bound to go global sooner or later. Some entrepreneur is bound to pick up on this. About 30
yeah.
seconds for your thoughts.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. That's exactly what's happened. And the fact is, since a lot of what is driving this industry is delayed childbearing, and the delayed childbearing is driven by economic considerations, it really isn't too surprising that you're going to be looking around for the low-cost womb to do the job for you. And it's making it harder and harder for states and countries to kind of get a grip on this and to say, well, wait a minute, is this really the kind of world we want to create? Do we really want to create a world where some people are manufactured by other people for the purposes of yet other people? And if we do very much of that, are we really going to be able to say that all men are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights? I mean, who is the creator of these babies, you know? It's that impresario in Los Angeles. He's the creator, so what exactly is he endowing them with, you know? And our libertarian friends who value liberty and freedom don't seem to be willing to ask themselves that question of whether this kind of regime will, in fact, be stable over the long run.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is our guest. She'll be with us for a few minutes on the other side of the break. Do you care to react? We're talking about the global commercialization of human reproduction. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. We have an in-studio email address live this Tuesday, December the 14th, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founder and president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California.
We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Christmas and one for Epiphany, and we'll send you this new CD for any size year-end donation. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size gift before the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Christmas and Epiphany sermons.
The shepherds' hearts were full of fear. They shook right in their shoes. But then the angel called to them, "Fear not, I've got good news." Words from the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for December. A children's book, The Shepherds Shook in Their Shoes. You can find out more about this great stocking stuffer at issuesetc.org. Or you can purchase The Shepherds Shook in Their Shoes and other great Christmas arch books for children by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Hi, this is Kate in Japan, and I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues, Etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old theology, new technology, Issues, Etc. worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues, Etc. IssuesETC.org.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues, Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues, Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is our guest. We're talking about the global commercialization of human reproduction. We were talking before the break about Planet Hospital, the proprietor of this business. It's not really a hospital. That's the funny thing about it. Hardly a hospital. But he basically sounds like he's a broker, more or less, in human genetic material and making sure if you connect it up in the right place for the right price, you can have yourself a baby. In many ways, kind of skirting any regulation there may be on these things. But this is what he says from the Wall Street Journal that I found interesting. I'd like your reaction, Jennifer. Mr. Rupak, the man in question, says, "Our ethics are agnostic. How do you prevent a pedophile from having a baby? Well, if they're a pedophile, then they will leave that to the, I will leave that to the U.S. government to decide, not me." Your thoughts on that particular scenario for his business?
Well, you know, look, at you know, the thing people will always say is, you know, bad people can have babies the old-fashioned way. And, of course, that's perfectly true because, you know, anybody more or less can have a baby and you don't get quizzed or checked out to have babies an old-fashioned way. But what you do have is that you have to have an actual encounter with another human being. And, you know, if you're some real serious creeper and no one wants to have anything to do with you, you know, no woman is required to have sex with you in order to satisfy your reproductive destiny, you know, whatever you may believe your rights are, your entitlement is, you would ordinarily have to have an actual encounter with a willing human being. And so what's happening here is by separating the egg from the person, this guy can make a baby without actually going through the screen of a woman looking at him and saying, "I don't want to have anything to do with you. I don't care what you think. You are not my reproductive destiny. Get out of here." You know, which is in fact every woman's right at all times with any man. You know, is to say, I don't need to get involved with you. So that screening process, that check on whether somebody really creepy and really awful gets to have a baby, that's gone. That's completely gone because we've commercialized it all. And if somebody hangs out a shingle and says, "Okay, I'm going to do artificial reproduction for anybody who can pay," we already know that they are not allowed to say, to look at somebody who walks through the door and say, "I don't like the looks of you, I'm not going to do this for you." We already know that. We've already established that anti-discrimination law applies to to the services of artificial reproductive technology. That's, we talked about a case that took place here in California over the course of a couple of years. You and I have talked about that case. So we already know that the doctors can't pass any kind of judgment and say, you know, "No, I'm not going to get involved with this particular person." So therefore, the sort of natural and organic check on really creepy people doing something really creepy, you know, that's being taken away. And that doesn't mean that that's a perfect or foolproof system, but it is a system, right? And that a woman gets to look at you and say, you know, "No, I'm not going to do this." And likewise, a man can say, "I'm not going to have sex with this woman because she's out of her mind. She's a complete nut job." But if he donates his sperm to a sperm bank, a complete nut job of a woman can go get that genetic material and have herself a baby. Including, this is the really appalling thing, people who would not make it through an adoption agency screening process can use artificial reproductive technology. And that's not actually that tough of a screen in a way, what adoption agencies put you through and what foster agencies put you through. It's not that tough of a screen, but they don't even have to do that. So there's really a lot of kind of disconnects that are taking place as we commercialize childbearing. You know, things that we know are sensible in the case of adoption, we're not even thinking about applying in the case of artificial reproductive technology because we have it in our minds that this is somebody's right or somebody's entitlement. And I think it's kind of telling that it's the Wall Street Journal who's writing about this as if it's just any other business deal.
Well, that was my final question for you, and that is you expressed the concern that what the piece in the Wall Street Journal that appeared over the weekend amounts to is basically an infomercial for Planet Hospital.
Well, you know what? I don't know if the reporters intended that, But if you look at the comment section after this article, you will see that that's what it's turned into. You know, because people are writing in and commenting, and a lot of them are you know, supporting what he's doing. And but some of them are, you know, creeped out and so on. And he's chiming in pretty much after every one of them, saying, "Oh no, but you can come get my services, and I'm doing this and I'm doing that." And so, you know, it really is amounting to an infomercial. And so, also for him to say, "Oh, I'm agnostic about the morals of this thing," you can't be agnostic about the morals of this thing. If you say that that this is a commercial business, that is already a moral statement. That is a statement that has moral implications written all through it. You're just, what you're saying is, I'm not going to defend my moral premises. I'm just going to live by them. So I would really hope that your listeners would go over to the Wall Street Journal site and comment on this. I wrote about it on my blog this morning, so people can go to the Ruth blog. There's a link there to the article. And when I posted just a couple of hours ago, it's now Tuesday. I know people will podcast this puppy all you know, for I don't know how long people will be listening to this, but you know, as of today, December 14th, it was still open for comments, and there were only 70 comments, and probably a quarter of them are from Rudy Rupak or whatever his name is. And so I think if Issues Etc. listeners and Ruth Institute listeners will go online and comment, we could swamp that place with comments that are sensible on this issue of global baby selling. And if you look at my blog posts, I've got a couple blog posts up there now, plus a lot of other information on the Ruth Institute blog, you can pick out a couple of the reasons that I have put there, even if you're not sure how to put it into words yourself. I've got a lot of stuff there that you can just look at yourself and pick up and adapt and say in your own words, or maybe one of those reasons will catch your imagination. You want to learn a little bit more about it. Whatever the case might be, you know, if even 50 of your listeners would go onto that website and make a stink, or send a note to the journal, send a note to the Wall Street Journal, saying, what are you doing with this guy? You know, why are you letting this guy take over your page like this? I think it could be really constructive.
Folks, be sure to post your thoughts about this issue at the Wall Street Journal. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand, and look for the Ruth Institute blog. There's a way to the Wall Street Journal piece, and your comments there will be much appreciated. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founder and president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jennifer, thank you again.
Thank you.